Windows or doors sticking? Cracks in your drywall or brickwork? These can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Free inspections, transferable warranties, financing, and peace of mind. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
And here we are, Reggie, ready to go. How you doing, sir? Thumbs up. Very nice. I'll give you a thumbs up back and we'll go from there, huh? All right. What do you say? We do a little podcast action here today? Good, good, good. I'm ready. How about you? All right. And get everything set in there. Get ready to hit that that record button, all right? I'll give you the three S's. Star, smile, strong. Here we go. Hit that button on the one, okay? Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, it's always fun for you to listen, but I would hope that you'd also get out there and tell your friends, tell your family, and tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is, in fact, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why the heck isn't it theirs, too? Get out there and spread the word. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. And, of course, as I always say, if you enjoy listening to what you've been hearing either for the last couple of weeks or the last couple of years or almost the last decade, we're almost at 10 years now, then you can always go back to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, and go to the prompt for this specific podcast, and you can hear what we've been doing all this time. Yeah, we've been around for quite a long time. May 2016, we started this whole thing. And we are almost at 500 episodes. In fact, what you're listening to now is episode 492. So, I know that regular listeners always like to hear about some of my trials and tribulations, and thankfully, I have to say, 2025 hasn't had too many of those, but every once in a while, you know, that there's a little break in the serenity, right? Serenity now. there's, you know how there was one of those nagging things that happens around the house and you know you have to take care of it. It doesn't happen very often, so it's not in your routine, and you know that you have to take care of it, you know it's going to cost you some money, and you sort of hold off, and you know it's not going to get any better, and for some reason you hold out hope against hope that, well, maybe you'll get lucky, and it will just, solve itself. And you won't have to go to that extra effort of what it takes, as well as the extra expense. And you keep your fingers crossed, and you kind of delay. And then there comes a point where, of course, instead of getting better, it only gets worse. And then you have to just resign yourself to say, okay, I get it. I've got to give you some attention. No, it's not a person. No. No, usually it's the inanimate objects that give you the most problem, right? At least from my standpoint, more than the real people. But, so, first of all, I have to say, I've told you over the last almost 10 years, we're getting close to that, over the last 500 almost episodes, I'm a big TV fan. Just grew up on it. There's a great John Fogerty song from the Center Field album from the mid-80s called I Saw It on TV, kind of traces some of the big events in contemporary American society, and we saw it all on TV. And I've seen a lot of those types of things on TV. There was a lot of, naysayers, whatever. Whenever there's a new technology, there's always people that are excited by it and talking about the potential of it and the possibilities and with excitement and forward-looking expectations. And then, of course, there's also people, and I have to throw myself into that group at times, that there's also some caution with every, you know, it seems, you know, there is a balance in this whole thing that we call life, it seems. And for every, things on the pro side, there's always things on the con side, which makes life interesting, because we have to weigh both sides and decide which way is best for us. And so technology certainly has fallen into that category, especially over the last 30 or 40 years. There's been tremendous innovations in technology, but we've certainly been seeing that over the last, you know, century or so, certainly toward the beginning in the 1900s with air travel, and then with all the electricity and things like that, and, you know, the way it's just blossomed, and you can't get much more kind of awestruck when you think about 1969 when we landed the first man on the moon. And I know if you go online and on social media that there's a lot of controversy whether we really did land on the moon or not. And I hate to say I don't know. I'd like to think that we did, but I have to be honest with you. I remember, a long time ago, 15, 20 years ago. I mean, as a little kid, it was unbelievable, right? I remember it vaguely. I was very young, but I remember it vaguely. I remember my mom and dad, especially my mom, just going crazy about it. She still saved many of the newspapers. I still have some of those newspapers that she saved. And she bought a lot of the moon memorabilia, little pennants and pins. I mean, this was a huge deal, especially if you had grown up during the early part of the 20th century and saw sort of what the Depression and World War II, if you were experienced that, and then you see, you know, in your lifetime that people go to the moon, that was it was just a frenzy. Now, as we know, we've sort of got blasé about that over the last 55 years. And now, of course, it's been rekindled about going back to the moon, not because we had any burning desire to do it, meaning the United States. We have a burning desire to do it now because why? Once again, because there's competition. That's what's fueled it the first time. The Russians shocked everybody in the early 60s, late 50s and early 60s by jumping way ahead in the space race. Sending up a satellite first, the Sputnik satellite, and then having the first human to orbit the Earth and to go out into the into space, and they sent out animals. They really were leading the charge, and it became really a symbol of the Cold War battle between the United States, or democracy and socialism, the United States versus the Soviet Union. Democracy versus communism, as to which system was better and which system could do more and achieve more. And we got into a little contest, and it wasn't just who can build the most bombs. It was about what system could be the most impressive. And that was an underlying theme of the Cold War. It was really this little kind of tit for tat, competition. And when we were shocked to see how far Russia was in the space race, and that was the race to get to the moon, then of course, and I basically talk about this just so I could do my John F. Kennedy impersonation, because I love the way he says decade. If you go back and listen to the speech that he gave about predicting and challenging the United States to be the first to the moon, John Kennedy's famous words in a famous speech was that, "And we will go to the moon in this decade." He didn't say decade. You know, he had that Boston accent. "In this decade." And we barely made it. Of course, that became a rallying cry for this country because of the tragic assassination of John F. Kennedy, to make sure that that prediction came true, especially since he got embroiled in a couple of confrontations with Russia and especially the Cuban Missile Crisis with Nikita Khrushchev. And so it was a goal of the United States to make sure that we met and met the challenge that JFK presented to the country and our scientists and our education and everything else to get to the moon before the end of the decade. And we got there to the moon in July, at the end of July, almost August of 1969. So we did make it before the end of the decade, but with not too much time to spare. And so there's all this controversy, you know, about, you know, now considering how, you know, computer technology has advanced, and we can see that, I mean, now in movies, we can do just about anything. There's no limits. The imagination can become realized through technology on film and other types of medium. And so what you're seeing now on social media quite a bit, at least I've seen it, are a lot of naysayers to say that we did not go to the moon, that in fact, because it was so close to that deadline, and it almost seemed like we were not going to be able to go and make it and fulfill JFK's, you know, Cold War challenge, that we faked it. And that was, and that's kind of one of the leading conspiracies that I've seen on and off on social media. The rumors that I've heard is that Stanley Kubrick, the legendary filmmaker, was involved in this production, if you will, this Hollywood production of a moon landing. And basically he was brought into the fold because of the groundbreaking work that he had done on 2001, a Space Odyssey film, not Oddity. Oddity is the David Bowie song. No. I'm talking about Stanley Kubrick's 2001, A Space Odyssey, the groundbreaking film. And because the visuals and the space models and the space scenes were like something that nobody had ever seen before on film. They were seamless. They were realistic. They were almost poetic in many ways. The rumors that I see online is that we did not go to the moon in reality. In fact, it was on some Hollywood, done on some Hollywood soundstage. Stanley Kubrick was the director of it, and you can see this, and how come there's no shadows here, and there's no this there, and there's no lights here, or there's no, how do they take this? There's a lot of things, and apparently, even from the standpoint of The Shining, one of Kubrick's most controversial films, based on the Stephen King book, apparently throughout that film, you know, conspiracy theories can run very deep. And so apparently, and there's a documentary about this, about that film, The Shining, that is kind of intriguing. But apparently throughout that film, there are little Easter eggs and hints that Kubrick was dropping to people to let them know that, yes, he was in fact involved with the so-called lunar landing footage, to the point where, and I remember seeing the film when it came out, one of my favorite films, and little Danny boy, Danny, for whatever reason, I mean, this is 1980, when the film came out, late 70s, probably 79 or so when they were filming it, he's wearing like a NASA or a space, a sweater that has like a rocket on it. And I think it might even say NASA. And I remember at the time, I thought, well, that's weird.
Why would they be dressing him? Why would he be wearing a NASA thing? By the mid to late 70s, we had forgotten about going to the moon. They were still sending up the different rockets and the, I don't know if the space shuttle program had already begun yet, but my point is that the space race has been over. We stopped going to the moon by the early to mid 70s, and that kind of faded from the American zeitgeist, because we won. You know, we went to the moon. We proved that we could do it first. And so then the American people, as much of as a an amazing and historic achievement it was hailed when it happened in 1969, by less than 5 years later, it really wasn't that much of a priority anymore, and people didn't get excited, and we were sending up men to the moon, and people weren't even aware. Oh, did someone go to the moon again? Okay, whatever. It kind of became very blasé. And so that's why the space program, at least going to the moon, was ended. They started the space shuttle program, which never really caught the imagination of the public and didn't really lead to anything. Of course, there was the Challenger disaster, which really put a big question mark on that. Now we're talking about potentially going to the moon again, because why? China says they're going to go. Ah, another competition. So now that inspires us to ramp up again. We can't let anybody else, especially our arch rival now. We have a new arch rival, of course, and that's China. And so we can't let them get to the moon before we go back again. I mean, we've got our flag is apparently still on that moon, and no one's going to go put another one up there before us. So now all of a sudden there's talk about going back to the moon. And, of course, Elon Musk, with his big grand plans, is talking about going to Mars within the next 10 or 15 or 20 years. We'll see what happens there. But I don't know how I got onto this dissertation about the moon landing, but I hope we went to the moon. I hope we did. If we didn't, and it really was some kind of a Hollywood production, wow, that would be one of the biggest stories in history. To have faked that, I it's hard for me to believe that we could have faked something and that nobody would have really dropped a true bomb on been a whistleblower to say, okay, look, gang, here's the reality. I know, yes, that Buzz Aldrin, he probably helped fuel a lot of this conspiracy stuff, because on many occasions Buzz Aldrin has made interesting references to the fact that we didn't go to the moon, and everybody talks about how Neil Armstrong, the man who landed on the moon for the first time, didn't really embrace it and was always kind of closed mouthed. So there's enough fodder there to create a conspiracy theory. I don't know how much fact is there, but wow, if that was ever exposed to have been true, that we faked the moon landing, holy cow. But as it stands right now, I'm still going to say that we went. But the sad part is, if the fact that I'm still a little skeptical about it shows that even some of these conspiracy theories, sometimes you go, well, I don't know. But I'm still sticking with we went when we got there, and we'll see if we go back. But my point is, I believe that there's always skepticism about technology. And there's always a good side and a bad side. And I don't know how the heck that really relates, but I'm going to try to relate it to what I really want to talk about. So here's what's going on in my house. I would say since the middle of summer. As I said before, I was talking about television, and obviously the big thing was the moon landing was on television. And John Fogerty's I Saw It on TV. Very cool song. Sounds a little like Who'll Stop the Rain, which is one of the great CCR songs. But if you ever want to look up that song, go on your favorite music source these days. I don't know what that would be, but whatever you do, you go to Spotify, YouTube, whatever. Look up the song I Saw It on TV by John Fogerty. It's a cool song. But anyway, so I'm a television kid. There was a lot of naysayers after television, you know, was around for, 15, 20 years, like, kids have to stop watching TV and get them away. It hurts their eyes. And it's going to, they shouldn't be at the front of the television all the time. They need to get out and do things and blah, 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 blah. And now it seems like over the last couple of years, we're getting that same blowback now about, the smartphones. But for a while, what the heck? We are still so obsessed with watching screens. We have taken that and taken it to the nth degree, because now we carry a screen in our pocket. Before, at least, you had to go home to watch television. Now you can watch your television or your screen, whatever it may be showing you, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. So all those naysayers, it made for some good headlines and for some good little old wives' tales. But boy, did we not believe that, and did we not, follow those rules? If anything, we've expanded our viewing by 1,000%. Since the 70s, of all those saying you shouldn't watch TV, don't be too close to the TV, TV isn't a babysitter. Now social media is not only a babysitter, it's finding us spouses, it's entertaining us, it's informing us. So all those predictions, those really went right by the wayside when you look back 50 years later. So I feel that watching television has informed me. It has given me a lot of interesting insight that I may not have had, a lot of information that I might not have had. So I'm not at all upset about the fact that I grew up as a TV kid. I was an only child, and so TV really wasn't a babysitter. I wouldn't say TV was a babysitter for me, because when I was growing up, I was very active, and during the day, of course, my dad was working, but even on the weekends, we would do something, and during the week, obviously, but my dad come home from work. I'd have school and stuff like that. But when I was home, my mom was a stay-at-home mom for, I would say, the first 5 or 6 or 7 years of my life. And then she went back to work. But we were very active. My mom would take me a lot of different places. We would go to a lot of different things. And I experienced a lot of different things. But at the same time, I was an only child. And so there's some times when you're just by yourself, and so I'd watch TV, and I don't feel like I was corrupted or hurt at all by it. I think that it actually enriched me in many ways. So, needless to say, as I've gotten older, television and television watching has been a major part of my life. I know some people, they don't even turn on their TVs, or it's in a separate room somewhere, and it's not even in the main thing, but I'm a TV person. I like to get my news, and I'm still traditional. I know a lot of people today are getting, as I said before, from their cell phones. They're getting their news. They're getting their information. They're getting their dates. They're getting everything from that smartphone. But I'm still traditional in that I will sit down and watch television. So you would think then, if television is such a major, it has been and is still such a major part of my life, that, wow, Jim, you must have some TV setup, because it's a somewhat dominant part of your life. It's a huge part of what you do, around the house, or it's been. So I would assume that you must have, like, state-of-the-art, 75-inch set with surround sound, booming woofers, and 5G this and surround sound, and every possible big TV enhancement and advancement. And ironically, I don't. In fact, I've had the same television set since about 2007. No lie. And that was a big thing. That was the big, and I've got a, I finally had gotten a flat screen, and that was kind of, you know, a little behind the times. You know, I used to work for Zenith Electronics in their public relations department, and so we used to actually get like an employee discount on televisions. And so we always had some nice TV sets. My wife worked there longer than I did. So we always had some nice TV sets that we were able to get some nice deals on. And Zenith was a very good quality product. But we did have a regular tube TV for a while. It wasn't until 2007 that we got the first flat screen. And so think about that. That's 18 years. Now, I think we had a 25-inch, 27-inch set. And for the times in the 90s and into the early 2000s, that was a big set. You know, for a tube set, wow, you know, a 27, 20, you know, or maybe I think we had a 35-inch. That was still, ooh, that's pretty big, you know, ooh. And so I believe that when we finally got the flat screen, I think it's a 41-inch. So that was, it was kind of standard for the time, a little big, but not outrageous for 18 years ago, a 41-inch set. It was kind of the norm, 41-inch flat screen. Now, of course, almost 20 years later, I mean, 41-inch almost feels like a, you know, like a computer monitor. People have 41-inch computer monitors at their desks. It's not the television set anymore. So, but you know what? I mean, you know, the older you get, the more I know some people never get tired of gadgets. I've told you about this. I'm not a big gadget guy. I've always been an early adopter in many ways of some of the new technologies, but with time and with age, you know, some of that stuff just isn't as important anymore. I don't get a new cell phone or new, you know, smartphone every year. I don't get a new computer every 2 or 3 years. I don't, you know, the new this, the new that, the new Apple this, the new Google that, the new Samsung this, you know, this new gadget, this new phone, this new technology. There was a time, as I said, I had a CD player back in the 80s when that was cool. I had that very early on I think that's something with age. But these days, older people are still, you know, excited by the new technologies, you know. But I was never a big gadget guy. I've always embraced technology where I think that it really does enhance your daily experience. And then I have embraced it. But I don't go for all the latest gadgets. Our refrigerator doesn't talk, you know, stuff like that. But television, like I said, you would think, oh, you've got to have this big, you know. And there was a time, once again, when I was younger, I did have, you know, some of those, you know, speakers all around and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I didn't have any, like, you know, multi-$1,000 things. They were, you know, little surrounds. I have the speakers in the back. But here's the thing, you know, I've told you many times, I'm not really big on action movies. So, you know, that all that surround sound, it was very cool. There's no question about that. And it certainly did, you know, enliven the experience. But it enlivens the experience, I think, if you're into those kind of films. Action movies, superhero movies, things like that, where there's a lot of, you know, special effects sounds and a lot of music and a lot of, explosions and things like that. Then, of course, it really makes it, kind of a cool entertainment experience. But if you're not into that, to have all those extra speakers, it's almost, well, okay, I'm watching a drama. Do I really need to hear? No, I'm not really utilizing it. So after a while, I had some of those little, and they were like I said, minor kind of things, nothing big. Parts of a stereo system that you would buy back in the 90s and things like that. After a while, it just was like, no, it's not really that important to hear the voices, because basically I'm watching dramas and comedies. I'm not watching, Terminator 2s. I'm not watching Star Wars. I'm not watching Iron Man movies. I'm not watching all these explosions and, and special effects laden kind of films. So why would I have that? So my, video presentation in my home is basically television. I mean, I still have my stereo system. I still have that, that stack thing with the bad cabinet. I still do have that. I don't use it really as a lot these days, but every so often, if I really want to hear the depth of the music, I will do that. But I'll be honest with you, I don't really use it all that much anymore. So my television setup is not some extravagant, elaborate, cutting-edge thing. It's not a 100-inch screen. It's not, as I said, 5G. There's no surround sound. It's a 41-inch flat screen with a remote control. And you know what? It's got the job done. I plug in my Amazon Fire Stick, so I'm streaming. I mean, because once again, when the time came for the smart television and the streaming services, well, my television was made, my television wasn't smart. It was just average. So I had to buy the Amazon Fire Stick in order to get the, all the streaming services. I'm fine with it, and I'll tell you. I'm the fact that television has lasted 18 years, and the amount of time that we have it on, it's really been a good. It's had a good run, and maybe you can see where I'm going with this. So you hope that some of those types of things never die, but they all do. And so, as I said, we get a lot of wear and tear out of our television. We watch it a lot. It's on. I admit I will fall asleep with it on during the night. It's on a lot. So the fact that this television's been a good workhorse for more than 18 years, I think it was like November of 2007 is when we got it. For some reason, I'm just remembering watching a Bears game in November for some reason. I should go look back and see when I think I still have the invoice for it. I should go back, but I'm pretty sure it was around November. So we're almost at the 18-year mark. So that's not a bad run, right? And we've been, even before, over the last year or so, we've been kind of thinking, it might be time. I mean, here, want to show you how old this set is, and even though, like I said, it's still doing okay, it's a plasma set. Does anybody even know what that is? Does anybody remember laughter? No. Does anybody remember a plasma set? This is a plasma set. Now everything's LED and blah, 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 but this is still a plasma set. And this is an older model, but it has held up. Except there are some burn marks, and that's why we were going to start to look for a new set. If you keep a certain, on any kind of a monitor, that's why, of course, we have the screensavers, because of that burn effect in the monitors. There's sometimes if the screen is all white, you'll see that there are some impressions of some things over the years that if there's been a, one kind of screen that's been on for a while, over time it has kind of degraded the picture. But nothing major that you would say, oh, I can't watch this anymore. You could see it. It's there. And that's why I said over the last couple of years we've actually been thinking, well, maybe it's time. I mean, hey, a 41-inch set has been just fine. But now, of course, it seems like the average is either 55 or 60 inches or bigger. If you watch Price is Right, my God, they've got some, screens that are 75-inch and now 90-inch and 100, So we were looking to, you know, maybe it, you know, we certainly can't be accused of being overindulgent. We haven't had a new set in 18 years, and it's a plasma 41 inch. You know, most of you are probably going, geez, Jim, get a new set. Well, I'm going to have to, and here's why. So we got the good old set, the 41 inch plasma that's been just fine. It's been okay. Got no complaints. It's been a workhorse, I have to tell you. So over the summer, you know, we were trying to find things to, you know, to watch. There were, you know, the summer is always kind of a barren time for television. And so my wife was saying, you know, we should watch 6 Feet Under again. Great, great television program from the, you know, the early 2000s. That was about a family that was a, you know, that owned a funeral home, and it was much more than that. But it was created by Alan Ball, and it was a very, you know, cutting edge show for the time. And I have to say, I hadn't seen it in 15, 20 years, and we watched the whole series over the summer, and it still held up. It was really a very, very well-made show. It was a favorite of ours at the time, and I have to say, after 15 or 20 years, it still held up. But while we were watching this, one day we were binging, you know, watching, you know, almost a season the first time, because we just got so into it. I think at the time, back in those days, they used to have like 10 or 12 episodes a season. Now those days are over. I think there would be 8 to 10 every season with 6 Feet Under. But anyway, while we're watching it, and we've been watching, you know, several episodes of it, and while we're watching it, all of a sudden, in the middle of the screen, the direct middle of the screen, this black... vertical line, maybe 2 or 3 inches thick, but right in the middle. It didn't go down, it doesn't go down the entire, from the top of the screen to the bottom. It sort of stops in the middle, but this black line suddenly appeared. And at first, we didn't know what it was, because, you know, so many TV shows are filmed in dark backgrounds today that we didn't even notice it initially. I saw something sort of pop, and I was like, well, is that, what was that? And then at first, I thought it was the stream. I thought that there was some problem with the transmission of the content, not the television, not the monitor. I thought it was, whoa, what happened? Because then when a brighter scene came on, right in the middle, there was this black, you know, vertical line that went halfway, you know, about 2 or 3 inches in you know, thickness, and about halfway down. But then it would disappear, and then it would come back, and it was kind of on and off, and it would be off for a while, and then it would come back, and then it would disappear. It's like, well, what the heck? As we realized, okay, now I took the streaming off. I put the satellite dish back on, and it was still there. So obviously, it was the television monitor. It was not the content, the streaming content, or the satellite content. It was actually the screen. So it's like, oh, what the heck is this now? And it wasn't. I mean, it. You know, it was, as I said before, it was on and off. It wasn't on all the time. It would just pop up sometimes, stay on for a couple of minutes and disappear. So it became a nuisance, but it wasn't enough of a nuisance that it became, you know, like a problem. And then after a while, it started to stay a little longer and then disappear. Sometimes it would start to fade a little and come back, and then, it never stayed on all the time. So we sort of got used to it. And this is what I'm talking about. So now, obviously, okay, look, there's something wrong with the television. This is not normal. And so you're part of me, you know, once this appears, it pops up, like I said, in the beginning of summer. Well, maybe it's just, it's maybe there's, you know, it's going to go away. And of course, I went online to see, okay, why am I getting a black, you know, vertical line in my plasma set? And they said, well, it could be, you know, some connections that are not good, or it could be, of course, the dreaded motherboard, you know, inside the set. So once you hear that, you're like, okay, wait a minute. I'm not going to take this set to get fixed because it's probably going to cost me, you know, a good chunk to get this fixed, the labor and the parts. And it is an 18-year-old set, and we were thinking about upgrading it anyway. So, you know, once again, they shoot horses, don't they? So, you know, the it was obvious that we had to get a new set, that we are now, we were not just in the, well, wouldn't it be nice if we got a new set mode, that now that was jump-started. And now it was, we're going to have to get a new set sometime soon. And there's a difference in perspective there. You know, you always would prefer to upgrade something on your own terms, not because you're forced to. You know what I mean? You'd like to say, oh, yeah, well, we did this, and no reason, just because. Well, we passed that stage. We probably passed that stage many years ago. And the television is probably saying, okay, look, guys, you know, I love you. I've been around here for 18 years, but, you know, it's time for me to go. And so you guys clearly are not going to get rid of me unless I do something to force you, because you're not going to do this voluntarily. You're going to make me continue to stay on and continue to present all this content for you. And I really would like to take a rest. And so I'm going to have to just to do something to force you, because you guys obviously voluntarily are not going to replace me. Yes, I have personified my television set, and I do have conversations with it, obviously, or at least I think what it would say to me if I spoke to it. But so I think the television in a way was kind of either gently nudging us to say, hey, wake up, or B, hey, I'm getting tired here. I'd like to retire and go off to wherever used televisions go. But you guys aren't letting me quit. So I'm going to have to take a drastic measure here, and I'm going to create this irritating on and off vertical line in your programming, and you will be able to maybe get used to it for a while, but ultimately you're going to say, okay, it's time to get a set. I mean, let's be honest. You know, how embarrassing would it be, you know, if you invite somebody over, oh, we'll watch the football game or the Cub game. Well, I can't guarantee that my bad vertical black line isn't going to pop up, and I'm used to seeing it, right? I've been watching it now, you know, since the summer. This is 4 or 5 months, but someone else would walk in and go, whoa, what happened to your television? Why is there a big line in the middle? I can't watch this, and I don't blame them. But, you know, it's just the two of us, and so we're like, whatever, you know, yeah. It's my Frankie Pantangela from The Godfather. Yeah, so sure. I said, yeah, what? Yeah. But so we were, once the line popped up, we're like, okay, we got to probably start to look for a TV. So we started to go online and check out what's the new thing, and you look at all these reviews and what size. And, you know, once again, I mean, I'm not looking to spend $5,000, or, you know, I'm not going to get some, you know, over the top big entertainment system. I'm probably going to upgrade to what normal now is, you know, probably a 50 or 55 inch, you know, maybe a 60 if you get a good deal, but, you know, who knows? And, you know, I mean, today, televisions, the price of televisions are hilarious. I mean, they can be extravagant, but some of them could be ridiculously low. I watched these old reruns of The Price is Right. And some of the televisions back then in the 80s and the 70s, you know, these little 25-inch squares, know, tube televisions cost as much or more than, you know, 40, 50 inch flat screens with HD. It's unbelievable. So, you know, you can get a good deal, especially now, you know, when the Christmas time comes, the holidays, the Super Bowl, there's always big sales on, you know, on televisions, and you can get a pretty good deal. So I'm, you know, we're starting to casually look around to say, well, what kind of set would we get and what's the size? And then you got to say, okay, now, you know, don't forget, you know, we've got this TV set where we have it in our house, and the 41 inch fit very well into our decor and where we had it in the corner and everything like that. So now you also have to say, well, okay, wait a minute. If we're going to upgrade to a bigger set, then it's going to take a lot more space. What do we have to do here? Will it still fit in that spot? Because, you know, that spot is kind of the TV spot. So you can't, if we wanted to get an 80 inch screen, we couldn't put it where we have the TV now. So it's like, okay, we get the, you know, the tape measure out. Okay, if we got a 55 inch, okay, it would still look okay. It wouldn't, we might have, but in honesty, we probably would have to move a couple of pictures and things we have hanging on the wall a little higher up, because it would be higher and a little wider, obviously. But it really, we could probably do the 55 or even the 60 inch in that spot. We'd still be okay. So okay, so now we figured on that. And now, of course, the question is now, what kind of set do you get? What brand do you get? What kind of features do you get? And since the last time we bought a set, my gosh, I mean, you know, the technology for sets has just gone through the roof, too. There's more alphabet and numerical soup. Oh, you need the PS2568. I mean, it's got the HIF and the BF2s. I mean, you got to get that if you really want to get a good set and a good, you know, picture. Nobody's talking about plasma. That's gone. Ryan says plasma is dead, and that's an inside joke. But so, yeah, I mean, everything's LED and HD and 5G and ba-ba-boo and this and that. So now you got to start to weed through that and figure out what you'd have. And, of course, when you go to, you know, a store, they've got these walls of televisions. And so then, you know, you got to come armed with at least some you know, information and an idea of at least what you want. So certainly the size of the set is a good, at least first kind of, you know, signpost of where you want to go. But then, of course, okay, well, and then if you start to deal with a salesperson on a television, then of course they get into all this stuff and who knows what. So, you know, you got to do your homework. So we've been casually doing our homework. We've been living with the bad vertical line in the middle that goes on and off. And we've been doing some casual, but it's inevitable within the net. We're going to get a new set sometime, you know, whether it's taken, you know, say this was a summer, it was probably okay by the end of the year or the beginning of the year, maybe after Christmas or something, we're going to get a new set. We got it, because watching this line in the set is not good. I mean, we're used to it, but we shouldn't, you know, come on. If it, you know, it's silly. Okay, get a new set. So, especially, like I said, today the TV sets, you know, are relatively cheap, unless you get one of these, you know, IMAX sets for your house. But so, you know, it's been a casual priority. We know we have to get one. We want to get one. But we haven't been overly motivated yet to get one. The line, we've gotten used to the on-again, off-again fading line. And so, it, you know, even though it should have been a major red flag to say, hey, the TV's dying, you know, it's now, you know, it's not just that there's a few little, you know, burn marks when you look at on a white screen from the plasma. No, now you've got this, you know, this irritating black line in and out of your viewing experience. And so, yeah, I mean, in all honesty, you know, we should have bought a set 2 days after the line. As I said, this 18 years. I mean, what are we waiting for, right? I understand. It's silly. But, you know, it's an investment. It's a big thing. Then you got to go to the place, and they got to deliver it and take it out and blah, blah, blah. And then you got to rehook it right. I mean, look, it's not climbing Mount Everest. I understand. But, you know, it's an inconvenience. It breaks your routine. You got to do the research. You got to spend the money. You got to, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, you know, I'm not really in the mood to do that yet. And I could still watch it for a while. I mean, it's amazing. As I said before, when I was 20, in my 20s or 30s, once that black line popped up, I would have been like, okay, out with this TV. We got to get a new TV set. I don't put up with this. But, you know, as you get a little older, you're like, well, it's only a line. It's only a black line in the middle of the set. And it really is ridiculous. I mean, when I'm watching a baseball game or even a football game or anything where, you know, the line, like, I can't even tell if there's a ball or a strike because when the black line shows up, it's right in the middle of the batter's box. I'm like, hey, can't you just off center that shot from behind the pitcher so I could see this? And then, of course, the line goes away. It's like, oh yeah, that was a strike. Or in a football game, I mean, the line is right. It's the line is right on the line of scrimmage. I know if they get a first down, not because of the graphics that they apply where the first down marker is. I know they're getting a first down because of my line. My black line. I know if somebody jumps offside because they go over my black line. Yeah, and if you're watching a show, you'd be surprised how often the person is centered, because many times it's right between the eyebrows, right along the nose line. That's where our black line is. It's in the middle of the set. And when you're watching a news program or any kind, especially a news program, because they're behind that desk and they're centered, that black line cuts right down between the eyes. It's as if it was painted. You know, and you see like two sides of a person's face. So yeah, it's irritating. It goes away, so we live with it. But yeah, there's no reason why we haven't gotten a new set since in the last 3 or 4 months we've been watching this. It really is stupid and silly. But we've been doing it. We got used to it. And there's the line, and there's no line, and there's the line. And sometimes the line doesn't show up all night. And so we forget about it. And that's the point. It wasn't like a stationary line. It would be going on and off. It would fade out. It would be gone. Sometimes it'd be on, then it'd be gone, and then sometimes it wouldn't be on all night. Sometimes it's on for maybe 15 minutes ago, you know, on and off. So it would change. As I said before, there was something about the motherboard or something inside. It's not like you can go hit it and it stops. No, you know, can't fix it from the outside. It is what it is. It's internal. So we've been kind of living with the line for several months already. And, you know, the idea was starting to cross my mind now, as I said, now with the, you know, with the holidays coming up, there'd be some sales. You know, I know there was a 4th of July sale for televisions. We let that one pass. You know, I don't know if the line came before or after the Memorial Day sale, but we certainly could have gotten one during the 4th of July sales for television, and we could have gotten one for the Labor Day sales. And we probably could have gotten one for the Columbus Day sales. So we've you know, so now we're probably going to look at the, you know, the holiday sales or the Super Bowl sales. And I think between the holiday sales in November and December and the Super Bowl sales between January and February, I would predict that we're probably going to get a set sometime within that sales point. But I can't confirm that either, because we did let, as I just said, at least three, you know, television sales periods go by without buying one. I don't know why we did. But I know we're going to have to do it because the TV is not cooperating. The TV, as I said, I had this little conversation with my TV set. They're saying, hey, he's saying, hey, let's go. I'm getting a little tired here. I'm gonna start to throw this black line at you for a while, just to irritate you, to let you know that I'd like to get a break. I'd like to move on. And we said, well, we're not ready to let you go. And so now the television is rebelling even more. And the television now has taken over and said, look, you're going to get a new set, folks, in the next month and a half or so. I guarantee it. And I think the television is going to win. Because now, about a week and a half ago, in addition to the ever and almost ever and sometimes present black vertical line in the middle of the set, turned on the TV about a week and a half or so ago, and lo and behold, there's a second line just to the left of the middle line. It's in the middle between the end of the screen and the middle line that we have that goes in and out. A new line appeared. Same kind of black line. Same, like halfway goes from the top of the set to the middle. Same diameter, you know, same thickness. But it's in the middle between where the on and off black line is and the edge of where the screen is. So now we got two lines. Sometimes we have one. Now, here's what's interesting. The black line that we've had for several months that goes on and off, that one's still going on and off. And sometimes it's gone for a while still. So that one hasn't been changing. But this new line that the television said, hey, I thought that that first line would irritate you. But clearly you guys aren't easily irritated. So I'm going to not only have to give you a second line that's going to irritate the heck out of you, but this new line, it ain't going away. I'll still have that black line in the middle that flickers on and off and it disappears for a while. Okay, I'm going to keep that. But this new line that I'm adding in here, no. That guy's staying. That guy's going to irritate you. He's not going away. If you don't think now that you need a television set and soon, with two lines, one that never goes away, and one that comes in and out, if you can watch television with this, then I don't. Then you've got a problem. So yeah, the television's winning. I should say the television has won. Now there's no question. You can't live with this with these two lines. And this, and especially, it never goes away. The new line never goes away. I think the fact that we put up with the first middle line for so long is that it did go away. If it had stayed and never faded out and never completely had gone away, I think we would have said, okay, this is ridiculous. But because it kept going on and off, there was this back of the head, back of the mind hope that, well, maybe it's just a temporary thing and that'll stop. Why should we go through all the rigmarole of buying a new set when that was, maybe there was just some little short and then it solved itself. It healed itself. Well, it didn't heal itself. And not only that, it spread. The television is saying, look, it's time, folks. You've run me to the ground here. I got black lines showing up now. I got varicose veins. My TV has varicose veins, and that's not good for a TV. You know, and the TV isn't even trying to hide the varicose veins. It's showing them off. It's like, look, I want to go and fade away. I need to go, folks. You need to replace me. We've been good friends. We've had some good times. We've watched a lot of shows together, and we've had a lot of special moments together, but, you know, it's time. And so, yeah, we've got the two. We have the two lines or the one and a half lines, but always one line. That new line ain't going away. The television now is serious. I gave you the first line. I took it. I made it come in and out. Hopefully I thought that would irritate you enough, but wow, you guys have a lot of staying power. So now I'm giving you a second line, and it ain't going away. So, yeah, it's time to get a new set. So now the casual priority has now become a real priority. We'll probably wait, you know, another couple of weeks. Don't want to rush into it. We got the holidays coming, and so who knows? Maybe we'll get it before or not. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that before the end of the year, the good old 41-inch plasma will be heading out, and we'll probably be getting the new 55 or 60-inch LED with the some G. I'm sure it's going to have some G. I don't know. I'm not going to go crazy. But yeah, it's time. It's time. We certainly got our money's worth out of it, for sure. But it's so funny how you know when something like that happens. It's time, and you try to put it off, and you hope it's going to happen, and then the appliance just goes, no, stop. I'm not going to get better. I'm going to get worse. Come on, guys. So, yeah, it looks like 18 years will be the ending point for the good old 41-inch plasma, of which we've watched some very favorite shows and seen some amazing events happen. And we've gone through a lot with good old 41-inch plasma. But it looks like it's time to hit the off button. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. Don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 492. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your screen, your TV screen, with one flickering line and one solid black line.